as we come back to be with you. And I'm certainly enjoying the services each night, and I certainly do appreciate it and trust that you'll pray for us now for just a few minutes of time. And if you have your Bibles, turn with us into the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 25, and let us all stand to our feet for just a moment as we read the Scriptures. Good to have each and every one with us tonight in the service. And notice now in St. Matthew, chapter number 25, and let's break in at verse number 41. The Bible says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Let us all bow our heads, and we're going to ask the pastor from Old Antioch, if he will, to lead us in a word of prayer, Brother Pastor. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, and use it, apply it in our everyday life. Lord, I pray especially that there's one here, Lord, that's going to be on the side, Lord, where he says depart.
Oh, God, we pray.
Lord, that they, while there's still time, Lord, while there's still grace, Lord, while you still have your outstretched hand of mercy, Lord, toward them, God, I pray tonight, Lord, that they'd accept you as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for the saints of God, Lord, that we'd be stirred, Lord,
amen. You may be seated. Now, for just a few minutes of time tonight, as you'll pray for us for just a little while, we want to look now here, of course, in these passages of Scripture, as he made the statement there in verse number 41 about how that he'll say unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And then down in verse number 46, he says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." And I want to use for a thought tonight that's been upon my heart all day, and even last night as we was leaving the service, we felt like God began to speak to our hearts, and all I know to do is just try to mind the Lord. But I want to look tonight for just a little while is the everlasting punishment of a place that's called hell. And truly tonight, as we think about this, many times we sit down, we don't want to think about that awful, dreaded place that's called hell, because that I've got lost loved ones in my family that I'd love to see saved, but if they don't get saved before the Lord comes or before they depart this walk of life, then there's no other place for them to go but to this everlasting place of everlasting punishment. And certainly you probably got people that you know, maybe members of your family, maybe neighbors all around you, maybe people that you work with, people you're acquainted with, come in contact with, maybe on the job or whatever. And certainly as we think about it, those that are lost and undone without the Lord, There is absolutely no other alternative, no other place. Rather, if they die without the Lord in their lives, rather that they'll have to go to this dreaded place, rather that's called hell. And I know that these many other things that I love to think about tonight, many other things, other subjects maybe in the Bible that I'd like to try to preach on and deal with. But brother, I still believe tonight that we still need to sound the alarm, brother, in these last days in which we live in, that people might be reminded, brother, of that place that's called hell. My friend, that God has prepared out there with an everlasting punishment, brother, for those that die in their sin. And over there in the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 8, and if you'll read from verse 21 down through verse number 24, there you'll find where that Jesus twice mentioned, he mentioned two times there, unto those folks, he said, if you die in your sin, he said, you cannot come to me where that I am. And brother, that's pretty plain tonight, isn't it? I mean, brother, he don't leave no wiggle room, so to speak. And you know how sad it is that there's actually religions today, brother, that actually teach that if you die without the Lord, that there's a place that's called purgatory or limbo or something that they refer to. And brother, they claim that if the family of that person will go to the priest and pay enough money, that that priest can pray them out of purgatory. The only thing wrong with it, it's a lie out of hell. Brother, I want you to know tonight, my friend, that nowhere in the Word of God, brother, does God teach that, my friend, there's a place in between heaven and hell, my friend, that you can go there and wait for just a little while to see if you can go out. Brother, these religions that actually teach, my friend, that at the great white throne of judgment, a mankind will have another chance, brother, to see if he will get things fixed up with God. My friend, you hear all kinds, my friend, all kinds, brother, of doctrinal things, brother, that has messed people up and confused them. Brother, I'll never forget several years ago, my friend, my sister used to live out of the area in a different part of the state of Virginia. And she come in one weekend, was visiting, and she began to tell me that she had been attending some Bible classes and that they was teaching her that there was stair steps out of hell that they could act, that if they went there, that over a period of time, that they could actually, my friend, climb those steps and get out of the place called hell and go into heaven. I looked her dead straight in the eye. I said, you know better than that. I said, you have been, went to church with us when we was all young. I said, you know better than that stuff. I want you to know tonight, my friend, you can hear about anything and everything, my friend, about hell. And brother, one of the most damaging things, brother, that I believe you hear today, my friend, is you hear people cracking jokes about hell, making fun about hell, and these rock and roll stars even write songs about hell and make fun of it, my friend, like they're they're going to have a big time and a big party with their friends when they go to hell. I got news for you tonight, my friend. Hell is no joke, and hell is not a big party. Hell is not a place where you'll go and have a joyous time with your friends and all those that go there. It's a place of torment and everlasting punishment, as the scriptures teaches us tonight. And brother, as we see here in this Matthew chapter 25, brother, we find that he's dealing with the judgment of the nations, which is still yet in the prophetical future. Brother, that will take place one day after a while, my friend. Brother, at the end of the tribulation period, brother, I want you to know God's going to judge the nations, brother, of how they've treated Israel. I hope and pray tonight, my friend, that our country will never turn its back upon the people of God, because I want news for you, my friend. God's got a place out there when he will judge these nations. And brother, he's going to divide them. And my friend, those on the left hand, my friend, the goat nations, brother, will go into everlasting punishment, into a place that's called hell. I want you to know tonight, my friend, make no mistake about it, brother, God's nation of Israel will stand regardless, my friend, what may come and go. And brother, I want you to know tonight, all nations, as the Bible says over in Psalms number 9 and verse number 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget about God. I want you to know, my friend, it looks like, how sad that I say it, but it looks like our nation has forgot about the things of God, my friend. And brother, they're turning their back upon the word of God. They're turning their back and shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God, and changing the very things of God. No wonder Romans chapter number 1, brother, says that God gave them up. God turned them over to a reprobate mind. We're living in one of the most ungodliest, wickedest, reprobate societies that I've ever lived to see, my friend. But brother, you just wait. God's got a place, my friend, that's called hell. He'll place every reprobate in it, every pervert, every sodomite. I don't care what kind of rights they claim they've got. God will place them in hell with everlasting punishment. Hallelujah. I want you to know that tonight, my friend, they can march and claim they've got rights all they want to. But my friend, in the sight of Almighty God, my friend, God, brother, will place them in hell. They've even got so twisted and warped, they've got their own Bible. They call it the Queen James instead of the King James like we've got. They've got their own perverted Bible, and they've named it the Queen James, and they're getting married to each other by the dozens, by the multitudes,
and making, twisting, and perverting. I don't know why I'm all this mess tonight, but I got news for you, my friend. God ain't gonna let it get by. My friend, there's coming a day when he will bring judgment upon this reprobate apostate crowd, and they'll burn forever in everlasting fire. Hallelujah. I want you to know that tonight. I'm not mean. I'm just telling you what God says about it tonight. My friend, notice how the Bible says the everlasting punishment, my friend, of a place called hell, a place where they forgot about God, and God will place them there. And then notice, my friend, Isaiah chapter number 5. I want to turn there in Isaiah chapter number 5 and read what the Bible says. Now in Isaiah chapter 5, you'll notice these 6 woes. Brother, there, and boy, anytime God says woe, you better look out. But in verse 14, notice what he says. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. I want you to know, my friend, hell's not going to be overcrowded, my friend. It's going to be a place of everlasting punishment that will have accommodations for every ungodly, wicked, evil person that's ever walked upon the face of this earth. And I want you to know tonight, you may say, preacher, I don't like being around them down here. Well, I got news for you, my friend. If you die and your sins lost without God, you'll rub elbows with them in hell. All the Hitlers, all the Mussolinis, my friend, all the Joseph Stalins, and all the that kind of crowd, my friend, they'll be in hell with everlasting punishment. Because, my friend, they rejected God, and my friend went their own way. Yes, there's going to be all kinds of pilots and everything that tried to wash their hands clean of the matter. But every person that goes to hell, my friend, is responsible. And brother, God's going to have plenty of room. Hallelujah. I believe that tonight. My friend, as we think, it's a place of everlasting punishment that's going to have plenty enough accommodations. And then as I begin to think, my friend, about something else, it'll be a place where you'll remember the last words of our Lord. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 7, notice what the Bible said. I've got to take my time for just a moment. But in Matthew chapter number 7, my friend, you'll find where that some of them said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and do many wonderful works? Did we not cast out devils? They was doing those things in the name of the Lord. But the Lord answered, and notice what he said, depart, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew ye. And brother, over, he'll take them, and they'll be cast away into a place of eternal punishment. And the last words will ring in their ears forever and forever. Depart, depart. I never knew ye how sad it is. It's bad to be lost, but it's even worse to be lost thinking you're religiously saved. I want you to know tonight, my friend, God said, except you be born again, you can't enter into heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One time they asked an old preacher, they said, "Preacher, why do you preach that ye must be born again?" He said, "Because ye must." That's the reason. He said, "I'm a preaching it is because you must be born again." That little word leaves no wiggle room, my friend, for you to find some other way. There's many ways, according to Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof is death. I want you to know tonight, my friend, don't die without the Lord. Make sure you're born again and you have Christ as Lord and Savior before you close your eyes in death. Make sure. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad God got a hold of me one day. I made a little profession. I was probably about, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old, you know, like most do. And I was baptized, joined the church, and I went through, and as I grew up and everything, never thought much about it. When I got to be a young teenager and grown into adulthood, it didn't bother me. I'd go to the bars and the honky-tonks on Saturday nights. But boy, when it comes Sunday morning, I made sure I was at Sunday school. I made sure that I got out of the bed and I went to church. You may say, "Preacher, what was wrong with you?" I'll tell you exactly what was wrong with me. I was a lost, thoroughbred hypocrite, my friend, and brother, trying to think I had everybody fooled. Out there, my friend, on the dance floors, the bar rooms, and the honky-tonks. But boy, I made sure I went to church. I want you to know tonight we've got multitudes across this land and country, brother, that's going with a think so, or a maybe so, or maybe everything will be all right. I'm glad God got a hold of me and convicted me of my sinful condition. Hallelujah to God. He didn't let me go to hell till he got a hold of me. Thank God and brought me out of sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Hallelujah to God. Don't tell me you can dance on the dance floor, bless God, and drink liquor and play poker and run with somebody else's spouse and then act like it's okay. I want you to know under God tonight, God said, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Yes, there's a place. Oh, God help me. There's a place of everlasting punishment for those, my friend, that will hear the last words. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then I see another passage of scripture, and I've got to hurry. But in Matthew 13, you know those parables. I was reading there in Matthew 13, where that is, he was given the parable of the tares and the wheat. My friend, he told them, he said, let them grow together. He said, and then when I come, he says, I'll do the separating. As the Bible said, the enemy, which is the devil, sowed the tares. That's there with other children of the good seed, he says. And then he said, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. And so shall it be in the end of this world. Notice, he said, and when they gather them out of the kingdom, in verse 42, then shall he cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yes, my friend, hell as a place of eternal punishment. You talk about a lot of weeping and a lot of wailing, and you've seen two old dogs fight with each other and how they turn and gnash their teeth on each other. You talk about punishment in hell, you'll be just like an old mad fighting dog, turning around, gnashing on the one that's around you, weeping and wailing throughout all eternity. My God, I'm glad God delivered me and I don't have to go to hell. Hallelujah to God. Weeping, wailing. Oh, my friend, you'll hear them crying in the soot walls of hell. Get me out of this place. I can't stand it. That's what they'll be a crying out. And then over in St. Mark, chapter number 9, he talks about, my friend, if your hand offend you, cut it off. He says it's better to enter into life maimed than go to hell with two hands. And then you know how it talks about the hand, the foot, the eye. I'll tell you one thing right now, my friend. I'd rather something happen to the faculties of this old physical body if that's what it took to keep me out of hell. I'd say so be it, my friend, because there ain't nothing worth going to hell. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Hallelujah. Whew.
I'll never forget years ago at the first church I ever pastored was having Bible school. And there's a young teenage girl. She's wild as a buck. I was walking out the road, her and one of her teenage friends. And I said, "Won't you come to Bible school? We've got Bible school this week." "Oh, no, I don't want to come." I said, "Well, you ought to come. I said, "No, I'm just having me a big time." And she was young and wild and restless. You know how a lot of them are. And so help me, it wasn't no time. They had to rush her to the hospital, and they had to pump her to get a bunch of drugs out of her where she had overdosed. She's still living. She's still alive. What I'm saying, people's trading their lives, my friend, for a worldly good time. Drugs, illicit sex, my friend, alcohol, drinking and doping and rotting in the world. Yes, preacher, I want to have a good time. I want you to know, my friend, they ain't enough. Fires in hell, that's worth trading your soul for and having a good time in the world. Hallelujah. But I begin to think, just a little bit further, I began to think, oh, God help us. Not only people trading their lives for a big time and ended up in hell, but there's many today, my friend, that goes and goes and goes. And brother, seems like that they just could care less. You ever talk to some like that? Seemed like that they could just care less. Many of them, no doubt, has probably had their conscience seared with a hot iron, and it just don't register with them. Oh, my God. Oh, how I hope tonight that we could reach someone and trying to keep them out of hell tonight. But I see something else, my friend, in the scriptures, brother, about the everlasting punishment of a place that's called hell. I look over there, my friend, in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 10, the beast and the false prophet, they were cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. Preacher, what are you getting at? A lot of people, my friend, they want to picture the devil, brother, as somebody in a red suit with horns, with a pitchfork. Now, I got news for you, my friend, he'll be in hell, suffering eternal punishment, just like everybody else. Hallelujah. I want you to know that. A lot of people, they want to make fun and play jokes. But I want you to know, my friend, that you'll rub elbows with the devil. You most certainly will. And then I see, and I've got to hurry, but I see in verse number 11 through verse 15, what's referred to as the great white throne of judgment. And brother, I see as the books were opened and another book was opened, the sea had gave up the dead, both small and great, and they stood before the one that sat on the throne. And I want you to know, my friend, God will open those books
And brother, it'll be a record, a true record. He's the just judge that will sit on the throne judging every lost human being out of the things written in the book. And God's got it recorded tonight. Even this very service, if you're seated here and if you go away lost and down your sin, it'll be recorded. You rejected God that night. Why didn't you come when I warned you? Hallelujah. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Notice this. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast away into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's some things worse than dying physically, I can tell you that. There's some things worse. And you'll die and go away knowing God's showing you your name's not recorded. Oh, help tonight. And the fearful and the unbelieving in Revelation 21 and 8 was cast in, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone. This is the second death. Thank God I'm glad I'm alive and I'll never die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. If you get a report in the paper that told you that Dennis Eller died, don't you believe it. No, praise God, I just changed residences. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to change residences. And then as I close, St. Luke chapter number 16, beginning at verse 19, you can see the record that God gave of a certain rich man that fared sumptuously every day. My friend, but then there was poor Lazarus, just a beggar. Then the Bible says that the man that came to pass that the beggar died, and he was pallbeared into the very bosom of Abraham. And then the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. I want you to know, my friend, he began to look around and see the punishment and began to cry and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water, cause I am tormented in this flame. Oh, Lord, help. Eternal torments. Yeah, he got religious. He wanted to get out of that place, but it was too late. He even wanted to send help to his brethren that was lost. Too late. What about tonight? You're here, and if you're not saved, God's speaking to your heart, it's not too late. It's not too late to miss that place of everlasting punishment. I know the message been kindly unusual, hard-hitting, but nevertheless, we every time, every once in a while, as God reminds us, we must warn those that needs to be warned. And if you're here tonight lost without God, I beg you, will you come? Let us bow our heads.